begin this afternoon worship service with a singing of hymn number 164. Deep in our hearts, let us record the deeper sorrows of our Lord. Behold, the rising billows roll to overwhelm his holy soul. 164. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they gave him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor have always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because of that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Yet then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying by what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word, may add his blessing with his spirit of true prayer. Oh, gracious, merciful, long-suffering God, O thou, Lord, art the true and the holy God of heaven and earth, the great, the terrible, and dreadful God. O Lord, yet thou art merciful, and loving, and compassionate, and patient. Lord, thou hast given us again this place where we today may come, to call upon thee, Lord, to remember us in thy loving kindness and tender mercies. And to beg thee, Lord, of thy rich favors for our poor souls and for our daily lives. For thou art God alone, and this earth is thine, and all its goods are thine, and it is in thy power and thy love to give as thou wilt. Lord, remember us then, for we are poor creatures of this earth, and we seek thy presence, O God, and we seek thy rich favors. We beg that we might be given to that faith that comes down from heaven, thy gift, that we might believe, Lord, thy word, that fears and doubtings may be taken away, that our eye of faith may behold Jesus, thy dear Son, thy well-beloved Son, in whom thou eternally delighted in, that we may find some delight in him, some wonderful truth from him, O precious crumb of mercy, that we might be clothed even this day, Lord, in that precious righteousness and that precious holy obedience of Jesus. Lord, that we may be born under thy wing, and that thy table be fed in thy precious fruits and precious food. Oh, Lord, we seek to be nourished in our soul, prepared for the solemn day of judgment, where a judgment shall be passed against us. and eternal judgment. Oh, prepare us, Lord, to meet thee. Work wonders this day, as we would speak and rejoice in our dear Son, and the wonders of his salvation, and the wonders of his tender mercy and kindness. Grant, Lord, that we might find a comfort be drawn unto thy fold, and know that we might be thy sons and thy daughters. Lord, that thou didst take to be gone from our heart to come to dwell within us, and send thy Spirit again this day to guide us. Oh, that he may dwell within us, that we might hear the indictings of the Spirit in prayer and in worship, that we might know something of that salvation of Christ in the blood that cleanseth from all sin, from all our filthiness and defilement. Lord, that I might awaken the dead, and that I might show to the unregenerate a solemn sight, that thou would impress the urgency and the necessity of the unconverted to seek thee, and that there may be some beauty found in thy glorious kingdom, that poor souls might seek to find entrance therein. Lord, that we might be given eyes to see that this world is a poor, perishing, empty place, that it is to be used but not abused, and we can take nothing with us into the grave. Lord, we seek then those precious riches of God. Thou would stretch forth thy hand, Lord, to bless us, to give us those things from heaven. We would let find, Lord, that comfort of thy people, that encouragement upon the way, and the rejoicing of the soul, as the Scriptures concerning Christ Jesus may be revealed unto us. We pray, Lord, for your love and for unity among thy people, with much wrestling and with much prayer, and the true unfeigned humility that we might esteem ourselves the least of the brethren. Lord, we pray for that rich increase. We pray that thou, mercy, might draw multitudes yet to the feet of Jesus. That thou, Lord, might remember us this day and this time. Without thee, Lord, we shall fall, and we shall fail. But with thee, Lord, and by thy strength, we shall overcome all enemies and walk on our way rejoicing, and find that precious hiding place of refuge. So, Lord, as we remember us as we walk upon the paths of this life, remember each family in their homes and in their paths of life. Lord, bring to guard each one unto thyself. Oh, make them, Lord, seekers after thy ways, and do come to dwell under each roof. Teach thy precious ways, and to show that thou art a God worthy to be sought after. Lord, remember in troubles and times, that we might have a faith unto thee, looking expectantly upon thee and confidently unto thee, that thou wilt guide us and lead us in every path of this life, that thou truly art our refuge. And though the destructor may come, and the arrow may fly, and the pestilence may come, that none shall fall according to thy grace, and though 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, oh, that evil should not come nigh unto us. To give us, then, Lord, such a faith. And to give us, Lord, that confidence in thy wonderful name. And to tune our hearts and our tongues to speak of the goodness of thyself. And so, Lord, remember us. We would bring before thee the sick ones, and the recovering ones, and the sorrowing ones, the troubled ones, and those filled with anxieties, troubles of this life, too heavy to carry. Burdens, Lord, that bow the soul and body down to the earth. Lord, to remember each one. Oh, that the hearts may touch. Come, Lord Jesus, to testify of thy loving kindness, to show that thou art a gracious one, and worthy to be sought after in all the things on us, to comfort each heart in distress, and give, Lord, that song of faith and the song of deliverance, that souls here may praise thy worthy name. We bow down before thy presence, Lord, to praise and thank thee. Lord, we ask that thou might remember of your brethren, and where they preach in the respective places where those planted in thy vineyard. And to guide them, Lord, as they would preach thy word. And bless that word to Zion's heart. And use that word to break sinners' hearts. Above all, glorify thyself as they would speak of thy matchless mercy.
and of thy tender kindness and the wonders of thy eternal covenant, and the church purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we would praise thee again this day for thy sustaining mercies, thy sparing mercies, and thy continual riches bestowed to each one of us in a providential way. How gracious art thou, Lord, in all thy ways. How kind art thou to those who are deserving of the least of thy blessings. Lord, we would fall down again this day to thank thee and to praise thee for thy word. Thank thee, Lord, that there is no God but thee. No other gods are but lies and deception. And thou alone rules and reigns in heaven and earth and under the earth. O Lord, thou art powerful, almighty, glorious, wise, and infinite, eternal. O Lord, thou art beyond all our thoughts and all our knowledge of thee. We praise thee, Lord, that thou hast this world in thy hand, thou sittest on the circle of this earth. That all the nations of this earth are nothing in thy pure sight. And thou countest them as less than the dust of the balance, as chaff can be blown away by the wind. And that the might and power of the enemy is nothing before thy presence. Lord, we do praise thee for the wonders of salvation, for every theme, for the comfort of the church in Jesus thy Son, of thy gifts through Jesus, and salvation from Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that that way is firm and sure, and a foundation that never can be broken nor removed. We do praise thee, Lord, that thou hast set thy people upon the rock. No storm shall sweep them away. That refuge is a fortress, and that refuge is a safe hiding place. We praise thee, Lord, for him, thy dear Son, who is willing to dwell upon this earth to leave his glory behind, to become a worm and a sufferer, and that make a lowly man, despised and rejected, come to be blessed by people who need him and do love him for the forgiveness of sins. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast chosen thy people, that thee never can be lost nor forgotten nor removed from that covenant, according to thy will. We praise thee for thy continued comfort, thy jealousy over thy people, and conquest and victories over dear Savior Jesus Christ, over sin, over Satan, the wonders of that cross where Jesus was nailed on, beauty of our beloved Savior in his sufferings, in his weakness, in his death, in his rising from the tomb, his ascending into heaven, his everlasting intercession. Oh, gracious God, what wonders for thy people wait here upon earth, and what wonders wait for in heaven. We do thank thee for these things. Lord, remember us this day. Bless us with thy presence, with thy rich favors. Give us, Lord, a crumb of mercy and a song of deliverance upon our lips. We ask all these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let's continue with singing hymn number 170. What a doleful voice I hear. What a garden scene is there. What a frightful, ghastly flood. Jesus weltering in his blood. 170.
Thank you.
afternoon hour. Draw your prayerful attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. It came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Speak this afternoon, Lord, may enable me to open up with this text of the determination of the Lord Jesus Christ to become the sacrifice of his people. Speaking first of the time in which it was a time in which he should be received up. Secondly, speaking of the need of that time. And thirdly, speaking of the purposes of that time. And fourthly, of the place of that time. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. A mercy, beloved friends, that all time lies in the hands of Almighty God. A gracious mercy that all our times are in his hands. We think of that. Truth in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything. A time for all the purposes of God under the heavens and upon this earth. A time for in your lives and a time in my life in which we live and move and have our being. And it is all in the hands of Almighty God. And when we speak of the salvation of the people of God, we speak of the blessings of the Church of God and the comforts derived from the Church of God. It is again and through a time. The time of restitution, the time of reformation. The time in which Jesus Christ would steadfastly set his face to go towards Jerusalem. A time in which the Lord Jesus Christ would offer up himself as a sacrifice for sins. The time in which the Lord Jesus Christ would confirm that he is the foundation of the living church. Time in which all the shadows and types of the Old Testament church would fade away, and the realities of the Lord Jesus Christ may be confirmed through that solemn time, the time in which was come in which Jesus would be received up, not received up into heaven, but offered up or received up into the place of Jerusalem, in which the Lord would no longer continue his ministry of preaching amongst Israel and going from the north to the south and the east to the west in the land of Israel, a time in which no longer he would be found in the presence of Galilee or crossing the Sea of Tiberias, or be found amongst all the towns or traveling through Samaria and working his wonders in Jericho and healing the blind and restoring the sick to health. It was a time in which the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful, the eternal, the ever-beloved Son of the Lord, of the Heavenly Father, would become the Lamb of God. A time in which all the enemies of the people of God and the living saints would be destroyed. A time in which the Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish the crushing of Satan's head. The time in which the blessed Lord Jesus Christ would take upon himself the sins of the entire elect church and bear them himself. A time in which the Lord Jesus Christ would be immersed in the sufferings of the Heavenly, the Holy Father against the sins of his people. Luke 12, in verse 50, I believe it is, says there, it says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Luke 12, 50. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? That he was filled with that humble, that fervent, and holy desire that he might walk that path that was directed of him, in which the blessed Lord Jesus Christ would engage in such tremendous struggles and such deep anxiety of spirit, a time in which all the wrath of the holy God would be laid upon him, the heavenly, the holy, the precious Jesus. That he might endure that which was due to the living church. That he might put away the fierce anger and wrath of the holy God against the church for her sins, for her rebellion, for her filth, for her covetousness, and for her idolatry. Oh, that time was come.
that the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, although the depths of the suffering no man could understand, much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little is understood that even the angels have no perfect sense. 'Tis to God, and God alone, that their way is fully known. And this was that time in which we hope to speak of this afternoon. Time of the blessed Jesus Christ, that he should be received up, that he should usher in that way of salvation, that he should make the highway of holiness a path upon which the pilgrim, the alien, the stranger could walk upon. Time which the Lord would fulfill and complete that precious theme of God's righteousness, as we find recorded in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He became sin that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A time, beloved friends, in which the love of God may be manifested and confirmed to his people. Oh, that divine love in which he would send forth his beloved Son, the truth of that word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who cannot think of a more sacred time, a more solemn time, a greater time of suffering and grief and anxiety? The word of God declares in another place, it says, behold his sorrow, see if there be any sorrow like unto his sorrow. This was that time. Dear friends, may we be found amongst that blessed people who come to need this time, who come to rejoice in the presence of Jesus Christ, who come to rejoice in the scene of the dying Savior, of the suffering Savior, of the convicted Savior, of the condemned Savior, of the hated Savior, and yet of the beloved Savior. A time, the time that he should be received up. Our second point is the need of that time. Beloved friends, we know the obvious answer to that is the need of that time is that sin may be put away. The need of that time that he should be received up is that sin may be conquered, that sin may be subdued, that Satan may be destroyed, that the church may be purchased in that precious blood of Jesus Christ, that every enemy may lose its power, and that the church may have a victory in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. There was a need, such a solid need, for one to come and conquer sin in a sin-wrapped world, in a sin-consumed world, in a sin-filled world. And every inhabitant upon this world filled with that sin, defiled by sin, and dreadfully deceitful through that sin. Every inhabitant upon this world having no hope of eternal life, or eternal communion with God, or peace with God. We speak that truth, friends, of the anger of God and the wrath of God against the unregenerate and the unrepentant. And here there's such a great need, such a wonder in the receiving up of Jesus Christ, in the condemnation of Jesus Christ, of the conviction of Jesus Christ, of that murderer being granted freedom that Jesus and Jesus condemned. All those truths, as we read, as Jesus turns from all the work of his ministry, and he sets his face towards that place in which he shall suffer. The scriptures. Search the scriptures, for they are they which you think you have eternal life in. They are they which testify of me. The scriptures testify that the blessed Lord Jesus Christ must suffer, must leave, and must die. And why? There was no other hope for any other mankind to be a representative. And there was no other possibility that any other should take the place of sinners. For every inhabitant upon this world was a sinner, and none could represent another man, let alone the millions upon millions who would be saved. Oh, friends, we see such a solemn need. And do we feel such a need within us? A need of the Blessed Savior? And do bless God for the truth of Good Friday, the truth of a willing Savior, the truth of Him. Find that precious word in Psalm 40. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Thy laws are written within my heart. I have not refrained to preach Thy righteousness, O my God, unto the great congregation, and to preach the name of God. And you see such blessings in Psalm 40 of the need. You see there that one who is filled with sin and spiritual anxiety, one who knew and felt he was in a horrible pit, there is a need, friend, without the coming of Jesus, without the dying of Jesus, without the representing of Jesus for His people. All mankind are in a horrible pit. All are condemned by sin. All held captive by Satan himself in chains and bound there fast with his fetters. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He climbed unto my throne and brought me forth into the horrible pit in the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. There's no solid foundation. There's no solid standing place for any of the inhabitants of this earth. There's a need that there is one, even Jesus, to come to make that foundation possible, that the church may be founded upon that solid rock, and that the church may find a refuge in the Blessed Savior in the time of trouble. May we come, friends, to bless God for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, for the need is great in our soul, and the urgency is great in our soul, and the sin burden is great in our soul, and we do bless our God and Heavenly Father, for Him who set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, that appointed place of suffering, that appointed place in which God would pass the sentence of man upon His own dear Son. Our third point is the purposes of God concerning that time, the time in which He was received up. The purposes of God concerning mankind. When Jesus set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Purpose of God. The ultimate purpose of God. In the setting of His Son, that He might manifest His love and His favor to mankind. The ultimate purpose, that He might glorify His high, His holy, His excellent name. When He came, when Jesus came, and when Jesus ended His life there on Calvary's cross. Think of that word. I believe in Psalm 46, there is a river, the streams whereof made glad the city of God. And that river is the divine, the eternal, the ever-flowing, the overflowing, the pure, the irresistible love of God, which cheers the heart of His people, which melts the hearts of His people, which inclines the feet of His people to walk in His ways and make them obedient unto His commandments, that love that melts the hardest of hearts, that love which is made possible and shown in many different ways, but flows through the cross of Jesus Christ. If our beloved Savior did not delight in suffering, and did not delight in offering Himself up as for His joy in His people, there could be no blessing, nor love communicated to our soul. But we see the graciousness and the kindness and the mercies of God in this Son setting forth His face to go to Jerusalem. And open up that way of holiness and happiness and eternal bliss of His people. And the precious time it is in this very time when we may rejoice, not only in the life of Jesus and the holiness of Jesus and the obedience of Jesus, but that Jesus would be willing to drink the cup of suffering to its lost grace. That the Lord Jesus Christ would endure what was due to his people. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is a means in which a people shall taste of the love of God. And let the child of God describe something of those visits of his love, the visits of his kindness, and the blessings of the soul, the wonders of that love, in which all our strength is taken away. How powerful is that love of God? How melting is that love of God? As it takes away all obstacles, and takes away all resistance, and removes all rebellion. It makes a willing soul, an able soul, a rejoicing soul in the ways of God. It's all these things coming through this truth of a dying Savior, of a crucified Savior, of a suffering Savior. Church, there could be no church, no purchasing of the church without his blood, without his taking upon himself our guilt, without having that condemnation written upon him and the sentence of the crucifixion given to him. There could be no removal of the curse, no answer of the dreadful law, its power, its condemning sentence. And the purposes of the divine Lord, the Holy Lord God of heaven and earth, was that the church may be truly forgiven, and the church might find true comfort as the Lord Jesus Christ brings in that way of deliverance. As the Lord Jesus Christ faces all her enemies, as the Lord Jesus Christ is hated by all her enemies, and as the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes them all. Oh, dear friends, if you know nothing of this dying man, this dying Lord man, or the wonderful effects of his precious blood sprinkled upon our consciences and upon our souls, and the power of his cleansing effect upon us to purify us, and to cleanse us from all our sin and all our guilt and all our filth, what stranger you are to those things which are rich and pure and worth seeking after. How low are the things, the riches of this earth, compared to knowing something of the rich purpose of God in the salvation of his people, and that great love of God in the blood of Jesus Christ, and every blessing, every rich crumb of mercy. So often they call them crumbs without realizing the richness of those crumbs, the delicacy of those crumbs, and the rich favors of the recipients of those crumbs, for they are but beggars, dogs that are fed by the hand of this gracious God through Christ Jesus. And we know, friends, something of our poverty. We know something of our wretchedness. We know something of our lowliness and our filthiness and the reality of our own heart. That God, in his rich purposes and his divine love and compassion, would bestow such great favors to our souls. How great is he in his kindness, and how great is he in his mercy, and how great is he in his love. That his purposes upon his earth should be that man should be saved, that man should be reconciled, and man should taste of his peace and of his smile and of his favors. And none but those who feel their condemnation, and none but those who know their filth and their unworthiness, shall appreciate the solemn truths of Jesus' setting his face toward Jerusalem, and of the great wonders and freedoms that are wrought in the heart of the church through Jesus Christ's work at Jerusalem. The place where our Lord, dear Lord Jesus, set his face toward, the place that was chosen for the climax or the conclusion of the Lord Jesus' life and sojourn upon this earth. Therefore, he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem when the time was come that he should be offered up. And then we think, as you see, you read the different portions in the Gospels, and you find how the Lord, all the things necessary for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his various names, the name of his prophet, of the prophet, the name of him as a king, the name of him as a priest, we find them all climaxing there at Jerusalem. And there we find the evidence is confirmed of not only the names and the offices of Jesus Christ, but the place in which Lord Jesus Christ would end his life. He would end his journey upon this earth as that physical man, as a man like unto us. You think of that in Mount Moriah. You think there in that offering up of Isaac, the commandment of God to Abraham to offer up his son Isaac. And you see that question when Isaac, in his obedience, faithful obedience unto his father, agrees or walks with Abraham to go up that mountain. They have the fire, they have the wood, and Isaac answers that question. That wonderful question, Father, here is the fire and here is the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And we see something of that sweet, that beautiful son of Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. And the answer Abraham gave, behold, God will provide the sacrifice. That ram in the thicket was the sacrifice that God provided them. But dear friends, that Jerusalem was the eternal, the ever-blessed, the only true and effectual sacrifice possible to save sinners from their sins. He steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem, whose name means the possession of peace. And there in Jerusalem shall be accomplished the eternal peace of mankind through the suffering of Jesus Christ for his people. The only true peace, worthy friends, to be sought after is this peace in Christ. We find that declared in Ephesians chapter 2, for he is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. He is our peace with God. He is our true peace in this world. He is our eternal peace in the never-ending eternity. He is the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. Do we know him? That's a vital question, beloved friend. Do we know the dear Savior? And do we love him and rejoice in him? Oh, the sweetest times when we rest on his bosom. The sweetest times when we hear his precious voice. The sweetest times when we have peace in our soul and peace in our consciences. Through the words of Jesus, through the presence of Jesus, and through the truth of Jesus. Why we continually question, oh dear hearers, on our thoughts of Jesus, our estimations of Jesus, and our knowledge of Jesus, our experimental and spiritual knowledge of Jesus. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son does not make you free, free from the condemnation of sin, free from the captivity of Satan, free from the power of the law, free from the power of sin dwelling within us, and the Son does make us free, beloved friends, we are captive, we are prisoners, we are bound by sin and bound by the power of Satan. But we rejoicers in Christ Jesus. Then we come again to the time in which we commemorate the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and the conquest of Jesus. And the compassion of Jesus and the power of Jesus prevailing over his enemies and ours. Oh, are they our enemies? And is he our Savior? I was thinking this morning. I was meditating on this text and these thoughts. And my thought was drawn back to Matthew 1, I believe the 79th verse there, where it speaks of that prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his name. His precious name, Jesus, a wonderful name for that one convicted by sin, condemned by sin, cursed on account of his sins. Not 79, it's Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. And how shall he save his people from their sin? All through his glorious life, all through his works, and all through his righteous obedience, all through his holy ways, all through his accepting and agreement to the ways of God, and having not one sinful act, not one sinful thought. But then, beloved friends, as he sets his face steadfast with the goal towards Jerusalem, oh, we see how he shall save his people from their sins. For he shall die for them. He'll give up his life for them. He shall represent them. He shall wash in that blood, that smoking blood that we sung of. The blood that seeps out of his veins, and then ooze out of his wounds. And the open lashes of the whips and scourges of the soldiers. To the nails that were driven in his precious hands and holy feet. And the spear that was thrust broken into his precious heart and penetrated his heart. And forthwith came forth blood and water, the first to cleanse in the, or to, first to atone in the latter to cleanse. The fountain is water, fountain of Jesus Christ, open for sin in uncleanness. This was the purpose of Jesus, steadfastly turning his face. Now was the time appointed, Father, now the time is come, and that thou shalt be glorified, and that I shall also be glorified in this hour. The time was come that he must set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem, the place appointed where the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests were determined to destroy him, and had had strong plans already that they might kill him. There he steadfastly turns his face. Let's speak firstly, what we are reading in John 12, speaking of the anointing of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ for his death. That great work of dear Mary, as she openly expresses her love and adoration to her blessed Savior and Redeemer. Oh, she would spend all of her earthly riches to give some sort of manifestation of her love to him. And though Judas would mock her, and Judas would scorn her, hoping to get the value of that spiker in his own purse, it was not to be. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ was of the highest estimation in Mary's feelings. God had appointed that Mary would be the one that would anoint the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the beginning of him and his work as a representative of his people. That he was being prepared for the day of death. And it begins there in that sacred place in Bethany. That place in which the supper was made and Lazarus was there. And Mary declared her precious love to Jesus. And then we read of that triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. He sets his face steadfastly to go towards Jerusalem, that it might be, that it might be testified unto the world who he is. Who is this Jesus? That when we see this beautiful story, when we see the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, we have not only the testimony that he is the eternal Son of God, that he is the one that we may confidently put our trust in, that his knowledge is of all the things in this world. He says, go into Jerusalem, and you shall find a colt, an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass, tied and loose. And if any man ask, and the owners ask, you say, the Lord hath need of him. His divine, his holy, his all-seeing eyes saw already. There, that place where the finite eyes of man cannot reach. For he is God. And yet he is the God-man. He is the King. This is a prophecy of Zechariah 9. A prophecy of the King of Kings and the King of Zion. A prophecy of the strife. The victories of the King and of the kingdom of the King. Prophecy of the rejoicing of the child of God. And the purpose of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ and the victory of Jesus Christ and the names. of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, come sitting on an ass's colt. This is a prophecy of who the Lord Jesus Christ was, that he would set his face steadfast towards Jerusalem, and all of the prophecies concerning himself would be fulfilled. That prophecy of him who would enter into Jerusalem, who would enter in as a time of that heavenly Jerusalem, and he was the King of the heavenly Jerusalem. He would sit upon his throne in Zion, and that the daughter of Zion ought not to fear anything. What a rejoicing when we see the truth of who Jesus is and what was confirmed of Jesus as he set his face toward Jerusalem, as he determined to fulfill all the prophecies concerning himself and to manifest of himself that he truly was the King of the Jews. What a comfort into those hearts that know something of trembling, know something of fury, and know something of great enemies and fierce enemies, and know something of assaults against the soul, and know something of the circumstances in life in which the troubles that they face and encounter will overwhelm them and bring them to despair. But they have a King, not like the kings of this earth, who exercise dominion over their people and tax their people and encumber their people with burdens. This King is a burden bearer. And this King is a gracious King. And this King is a loving King. And this King loves his people and rules over his people in righteousness and holiness and in love. And this King loves all his inhabitants and all his subjects. This King will give comforts and blessings to his people. He set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, that he might confirm the truth that he was truly the true King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And as he walked, we begin to follow him through the furtherance of his journey towards Jerusalem. We find the deepening of this confirmation that he is the true King of Israel. We see it in the questioning of Herod of him and Pilate. Art thou then the King of the Jews? And Jesus says, thou hast truly said that I am. He confirmed the question that is asked of him. He confirms that he truly is the King. And then we see him again there as he dies on Calvary. We see that label, an inscription set upon him, over him. This is the King of the Jews. Oh, that we might be found under his banner. No, beloved friends, we may rejoice in the truth that he's almighty in power, gracious in his dealings, wondrous in his ways, and protective of his subjects. How foolish. How foolish of us if we seek not to be in his kingdom. Jesus himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And beloved friends, as we enter into the theme of the death of Jesus Christ and the deep sufferings of Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, do we truly desire to be in his kingdom? Are we seeking after that kingdom? Are we wrestling with God to be found in that kingdom? Are we pleading and praying with God that we find an entrance into that kingdom? Thursday night we were preaching, friends of that solemn truth, that Amos, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Beloved friends, this life is a time of preparation. Time of preparation of our eternal souls to be ready for the day of judgment. And are we a people that rejoice in the death of Christ? Are we a people that seek to know something of the truth of the death of Jesus Christ? And rejoice in him who not only is King, but Priest. High priest. Again, as he sets his face to go towards Jerusalem, it is that he might offer himself up once forever for his people. He is the high priest and the offering before God. Comes And the guilt is put upon him. And freedom is given to his people. He is sacrificed that he might put away the sins of his people and bear them himself to pay for them. Remember this. Let this one simple fact sink deep into your souls. He's the only one, who can be a sacrifice for you and me. He's the only one that can redeem us from our debts, numerous debts that we have. And he takes upon himself as that high priest. He takes upon himself the sins of his people, and they are counted as his own. When I was reading in Psalm 40, there is a sacred, beautiful truth declared in that precious chapter of the sins of the church. And in that verse, we see that he has took it upon himself and declared them to be his, the sins of that people. Verse 12, Psalm 40:12 says this, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me." This is a messianic prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in Hebrews chapter 9, where it's speaking of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, is direct quotation out of this chapter concerning, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." This sacred verse is a confirmation of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as he steadfastly sets his face to go towards Jerusalem. Sins of his people become his, that he might pay for them, that he might endure the wrath of God due to them, and that he might deliver them from them. Do we know something, beloved friends, of this blessed man who has declared himself to be our Savior, who has confirmed to us that our sins are his? I remember a long time ago, Ezekiel 16, that precious word of Jesus Christ, "I said unto thee, yea, when thou wast cast out into the polluting of thy soul, when thou wast in thy own blood polluted, when thou wast cast out into the open field, and there was none to bound thee up and none to mollify thee." That solemn state of the soul. And the blessed Lord Jesus declares that eternal life to the soul, the forgiveness of sin. "I said unto thee, live, yea, live." And to feel the purifying of the heart, the cleansing of the soul, the comfort of that divine love through that mediatorial work of Jesus Christ and him who took upon himself our sin. Is impossible to fully describe, to properly describe the rejoicing of the soul, the melting of the soul, the humbling of the heart, and the lifting up of the eyes of faith and gratitude unto God for the gift of Jesus Christ. To be brought to those places of reflection and meditation on what Jesus Christ has done for us as he steadfastly set his face to go towards Jerusalem. These are all part of those profound truths of Jesus, the suffering Savior. Friend, if you ever want to read a good book concerning the truths of the theme of this coming week, read The Suffering Savior from Crummock. You will read therein, beloved friends, what the suffering Savior is to a poor sinner. The wonders, the profound wonders and the deep truths of Jesus turning his face towards Jerusalem, and Jesus, who sentenced to death by his enemies. We try to quote that text out of, I believe it's in Acts chapter 4, where it says there that all the people, the common people, the Gentiles, the Jews, the leaders, Pilate, Herod, all the soldiers, everyone massed together to convict the Lord Jesus Christ, to condemn the Lord Jesus Christ, and all mankind came in guilty to him. Lord Jesus stood alone. Even his own disciple forsook him. You see such profound wonders in these truths as Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. It is that sinners might be free, and that Jesus is the sole true representative of his people, the only means and hope of salvation, the only way in which our sins can be forgiven and have been forgiven. The only means of true peace, true hope, true joy, true confidence, true humility, true life, is that Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem to confirm that life, to bring it to an end, and do exactly what his blessed Father had determined that he should do. May we become that people that rejoice in these truths of the blessed Savior, and find some sacred comfort in the walk of Jesus as he goes up the steps of the hill to Jerusalem. As he enters into that room, that upper chamber, as he institutes the Passover feast with desire, have I desired to have this Passover feast with you. As he institutes the wondrous Lord's Supper for his people, do this in remembrance of me. These are all those things that are confirmed in the entering or steadfastly turning of his face towards Jerusalem. We see here the care of the Lord Jesus Christ and the providing of the needs of the people, of his people, when he ascends into heaven. And we hope to carry on, beloved friends, of all these sacred truths of Jesus Christ as he steadfastly turns his face towards Jerusalem. And may the Lord grant then the further opening on Friday morning of the wondrous death of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ in offering himself up for his people. Friends, without a love to Jesus in this profound work of his, we're hopelessly lost. And without a knowledge of what Jesus Christ, the loveliness of Jesus Christ, and the necessity of this work of Jesus Christ, we offer strangers to his beauty as a Savior of sinners. And if we are not affected by the presence of Jesus Christ and the loveliness of Jesus Christ, we are strangers to his love, to the visits of his love, to the visits of himself, to the employing of his precious blood. Those who have tasted of the power of that blood we draw nigh to Christ to rejoice in him, bless him, and love him. May the Lord remember us, those of you who are strangers to these truths, that the Lord might acquaint you, the Almighty God and his blessed Spirit will acquaint you of not only the necessity of Jesus, but of the wondrous work of Jesus, of the willingness of Jesus and the love of Jesus in suffering for his people, bearing what was due to them, that they might become his bride in God's child. May the Lord have mercy on us and not leave us to be complete strangers to these truths. May the Lord bless his people with further discoveries of the dear Savior, the wonders of his work as a prophet, a priest, a king. May the Lord continue to bless and comfort to go to the very scenes of our life as a poor, helpless sinner, continue to be found to lean upon our blessed Savior and need him more and more. exalt him more and more, trust in him more and more, and rejoice in his precious work for us, what he has done for us, how he has conquered for us and within us all our enemies. May he have all the praise now, forever and ever. Amen. Sing now hymn number 1012. Himself he cannot save, insulting foe 'tis true. The words of gracious meaning have, though men be scorned by you. 1012.
Forevermore, amen. Close with singing hymn 500.